Welcome. This is the Pacific National Board special meeting teleconference for Monday, May 15, 2006. We've just come out of an executive session that was scheduled to run from 8:30 to 9:30, and I apologize for the delay. Teresa Allen is the secretary. Will you call the roll, Teresa?
Yes. 8.
And before we do that, I have to ask, thank you. Go ahead.
All right. E. Bunduli, Rip Robbins.
Present.
Thank you. Ambrose Lane. A.C. Bird. Rob Robinson. Rob Robinson. I'm not hearing him.
Present.
Zarina Shakir.
Present.
Rob Robinson's present. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Sarv Randhawa.
Here.
Rosalinda Montes Palacios.
Present.
Thank you. Mary Berg.
Present.
LaVarne Williams. Patty Heffley.
Present.
Ray LaForest.
Here.
Thank you. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Lisa Davis. David Adelson.
Here.
Alan Minsky. Don White.
Here.
Lydia Brazon.
Here.
Teresa Allen's present. Sandy Weinman.
Still here.
Thank you. Ken Freeland.
Here.
Deb Shapto.
No, I'm good.
Here.
Lonnie Hicks. Lonnie Hicks. Greg Guma.
Here.
Lonnie's here.
Thank you, Lonnie. Is there anyone who did not hear their name called? We have four, Mr. Chair.
Okay. I sent around a proposed agenda. Please don't do that. It's not star six. It's bound 10-1 here to mute. I sent around a proposed agenda. That proposed agenda needs to be altered in two ways. One, striking the elections committee report, as there is none. And two, we adjourned last time while we were in the midst of an item, and that item goes first in the agenda after we approve minutes. And that was, I believe, if I am correct, the ED request for board guidance on the Freeland inspection request. Is that correct? Is that what we were in the middle of when we adjourned?
Correct.
That's what I thought. Okay, so is there a motion to adopt the agenda that was circulated with those changes?
Dave, I move to adopt the agenda.
Point of clarification.
Hold on, is there a second? No second?
I second.
Thank you. Point of clarification from...
Greg.
Not actually a parliamentary thing, but go ahead, Greg.
You may want Dan Siegel to be involved in the discussion of Ken's item. Dan is now on a plane and therefore unavailable.
That's right.
Okay, well, in terms of the rules, it comes then if somebody would like to make a motion to put it later in the meeting, we can do that. But that's well taken.
Ken Freeland, I'd like to move that we postpone that item until Dan Siegel is present for
okay.
his reference.
Is there any objection to doing that?
Does that mean later? Is he postponing? He would be available in 2 hours, did he say?
Correct.
Then are we postponing it for 2 hours?
That we're
correct?
Postponing it until Dan is available, which was the way it was put.
LaVarne.
So I tell you what, to make it clear, why do we not postpone it until where it was put in the original agenda, and we will check at the start of unfinished business whether he's available, and at that time defer it till later in the meeting. Because
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Because it may be that we're not at unfinished business by the time some people would like to consider adjourning, and I would prefer that it be taken up as soon as Dan Siegel is available.
Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing that, let's just be clear. We're saying as soon as he is available or as soon as the item we are dealing with is completed after he is available?
What does that mean?
Well, in other words, if we're processing motions, if we're in an agenda item and we were able to reach him, we would not stop until we finished the agenda item we were in at that time.
Yeah.
Okay, great. then if there's no objection, then that's amended. Is there any other amendments to the agenda that anyone would like to suggest? Are there any other?
I have a question.
Yes.
When did you send this agenda out? Because I did not see it. I know that during the executive session, I heard something flip-flop in sequence, which made me think that you had sent something out after what I was looking at.
I sent out something at somewhere like midnight last night. Let me look. I can find exactly. And then
you might
want
to send it again just in case.
I sent out a corrected version at 4 a.m. this morning.
California time.
Yes.
You might want to send that again. I'll look for it, but I did not see it.
Okay, any other adjustments? It was sent yesterday at 10:05 p.m. Pacific time. Any other amendment?
Yeah.
Who is that speaking?
I could print it out for you.
Okay, that's nothing. So is there any objection to adopting this amendment? This agenda is amended? Hearing none, it's adopted.
Were you?
So,
could you not hear? Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Oh, sorry. I was frantically trying to get to change something on the agenda, which is, as long as we're going to have Dan on, then I think that the item as to how to communicate with him should be taken up while he's there so we can get input.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, that will be taken after the Freeland information request once Dan's available.
Yeah.
Okay. Any further alterations? One question I'd like to, or one consent I'd like to get from the board is that as we move through this agenda, as I wrote to everybody, what I would like to do at 5 minutes before time, we will close debate unless there is a motion to extend time. At that time, motions to postpone or refer will be in order, and if there are no such motions or they're defeated, we'll move to a vote on all pending questions.
Repeat that, please.
Okay. Basically, we'll call time on each item 5 minutes before. So, for example, if 15 minutes are allocated, 5 minutes before that, we will call time. At that time, motions to postpone or refer or to extend time will be in order. If the motion to extend time fails, if a motion to refer or postpone fails, then we'll move on all pending questions. Okay?
Point of information.
Yes, Bob.
Mr. Chair.
Hang on, let me get Bob, and then I'll come back to you. Go
is
ahead,
there
Bob.
A timekeeper?
That's point. My question, too.
I would like to ask, could we have one? Bob, are you willing?
I'm not in a good position to do that tonight.
Ken Freeland, I'll volunteer.
Okay. You let me
Thank
know.
You.
5 minutes, and in general, if someone's speaking, say it softly, and then when they're done speaking, say it a little more loudly so they're not disrupted by it.
Say it again.
If they're in the midst of speaking, hold off until they finish, or say it softly, and then more loudly after they finish speaking. Also, do we have agreement that people won't speak for more than 2 minutes?
AC Bird.
Thank you, AC.
Mr. Chair, Mary Bird.
Yes.
May we also agree that no speaker will speak twice to the same issue before everyone who wishes to has already spoken once?
That's actually part of the rules, so I will observe that. I won't
Thank
be
you.
About that. Okay, so if we have agreement on that, we can proceed. The next thing is approval of minutes. Teresa, do we have minutes before us for public session?
No, we do not.
Okay.
Actually, I did not even see that on the agenda, which I guess I should have. I should have called you about that.
Okay, failing that, then that'll be postponed until our meeting in person. The next item on the agenda is the ED report. 10 minutes. Greg?
Yeah, in the interest of time, I would just restrict myself to the Spanish language news broadcast, which is really the item that I think most on people's minds. Let me, I'll update you. We had a meeting of the managers group on Friday. It was very successful insofar as this project goes. Two budgets, in fact, were presented. One for a kind of a rollout, initial rollout between July and September of this year for $40,000. and then a proposed budget for FY 07 beginning October 06, which of course has been approved yet, but for $100,000. And there is going to be, there will be continuing discussion by people at various stations, but at this point, we find that WBAI, KPFT, and KPFA are highly committed, and WPFW is probably going to be able to incorporate a half-hour show into its plans. And in fact, after the discussion, or during the discussion we had on Friday, it was pretty well agreed that we should really develop this as a daily half-hour show at this point, because that's going to be much easier for people to incorporate on an ongoing basis. The launch date that's been suggested and accepted is in early July, I believe, July 11th, I think it is. Hold on one second. I'm sure on that. July 10th, pardon me. And that was in order to avoid the July 4th holiday week, and that we're going to, during this first three-month period, we'll hope to get the work out the bugs and, you know, get people cooperating at the different stations. WBAI and KPFT will air the show at 11 p.m. I'm not really sure when KPFA is planning on broadcasting it. Perhaps somebody in Los Angeles actually knows that. WPFW would be likely to incorporate it in its 9 to 10 o'clock hour, which is when they have a sort of a new Latino public affairs and news show scheduled to air.
PM or AM?
So I would say...
PM or AM, oh, please.
Excuse me?
PM or AM. 9 to 10 PM or AM.
WPFW, that's PM. It's not AM, it's PM. All of these are...
Sorry, can you repeat that?
He was asking me whether it was in the evening or in the morning, and I was saying in the evening.
What time in the evening at WPFW?
For WPFW, it would be between 9 and 10. The format of that show is still being worked out, and so this would be part of an hour-long show. So I'm not sure whether it would be the first half hour or the second half hour or some other way of incorporating it. That hasn't really been decided. There's going to be continuing work between Fernando, who is going to come on an interim basis as news director for this program, and himself and people at different stations, such as Ernesto in Houston and Jose in New York. I'm not sure who in D.C. We weren't. Ron was not able to be on the call on Friday due to having to go to a funeral. And the budget that we have, the $40,000 budget, is more detailed. It includes a news director, a producer, and costs for telephone and equipment costs and web page development and web maintenance. And the subsequent budget has a marketing and PR line as well. So the bottom line is that this is set to launch in early July, and we have four or five stations. KPFA is still debating whether and how to incorporate it. But four out of five isn't bad.
Okay. Would anybody like to...
Don White would like to...
report? Don
White?
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is very encouraging. I mean, July is a bit longer to wait than we had hoped, but, I mean, it's really important to have this done correctly. My question is this. In the planning, are the stations that are on board also committed to have collectives or other groups that will be developing segments that will be on there? And the second part of the question is, will affiliates at some point also develop segments for this programming? I know RIP in the Skagit Valley of Washington State has a lot of Spanish language programmers at the KSVR. And so I'm just wondering, is there a strong commitment to very quickly have segments produced at all the participating stations?
I don't know that I can actually say that. Not all the stations are organized the way you are in Los Angeles, and so whether there is a collective available is really a good question. I think in D.C. They do have a Latino group, I don't know if they call themselves a collective, that's developing this other program, and so I expect that they would be a source. But I can't really speak to Kirk or Houston about that. I think there's also been the presentation made that that the news director, Fernando, has a lot of sources of for stories. In fact, the budget really doesn't include a budget for stringers because it's believed that he already is producing a show and has a lot of sources that he can pull on for news internationally. So, you know, but as far as how committed people are, that's a little difficult to assess.
I understand.
I think Houston is committed to running the show. How much that's going to figure in their, you know, overall news effort, I couldn't really say.
Ken, how are we on time?
Mr. Chair?
Hang on just a sec. How are we on time?
Oh, sorry. We are at 6:30. We have 3.5 minutes left.
Okay. I heard Ken and I heard Rob.
Hey.
Go ahead, Ken.
Let's see. Two questions, Greg. First, did you say the fiscal year 07 budget was projected for how much?
The 07 budget is projected at $100,000.
$100,000. Thank you. And then the second question is just following up on what Don asked. Is there a process in place for people to... or groups to submit content for this show, or has that been discussed at all?
Well, there is, in the proposal that was submitted, and it was somewhat critiqued by KPFA that held actually several meetings of their own staff and provided extensive feedback, so this may be revised, that they have a kind of a protocol and procedures section in the proposal that you submit a written synopsis of the story with a clear indication in written format, you know, it's very general. I mean, if I read it...
Who does it get submitted to? To Fernando?
To the news director, I believe. Well, there's a news director and a news editor. And so, let's see. The news editor will be the liaison with contributors, writing scripts, script supervision, preparing broadcast operation, editing, and so forth. And so...
Who is that person?
And I don't know who that person will be. I mean, the name of that person at this point.
Thank you,
Rob?
Yeah, both in this instance and in the general, in the position of the National Network Program Coordinator, the Programming Committee has not had any communication with management. Could we expect at some point to hear from them?
Are you speaking to me when you say them?
Yeah, I mean, we did work on the international Spanish language broadcast a year ago, and we haven't been involved in the discussions in the same way that we haven't been involved in the discussions on the network program coordinator's position. So I'm wondering, at what point will you involve the programming committee?
I believe that, I'll be very honest with you, I believe that it is the responsibility of the producers of the show to involve the many participants. I've been urging them to do so. I'm glad this show is going on the air. I pushed very hard for it to happen. However, I do not believe that there really has been a very strong outreach effort. I agree with you. And I have been pushing people to talk to one another. I find that this is an endemic problem in the network, that people don't talk to one another.
In other words, we won't
hear... I'll do my best, but I can't make something happen. Me communicating with you is not what needs to happen. The producers need to communicate with you.
I don't understand how that answers my question.
I would like to just say that the question is really the interaction of the governance structure with programming initiatives, and I'm not sure that that's clear right now to anyone.
Yeah, you don't have
extraordinary lengths to involve them in this, and we don't hear from them. So I'm just wondering, at what point does the other shoe fall?
What would you like to see happen?
I would like the people that are discussing how the international Spanish language broadcast is going to occur, talk to the people on the programming committee that have been working on this for a year or so.
I agree.
We're at time.
Okay, well, we're at time. So so.
I guess that means it won't happen.
No, I agree, and I will communicate that you would like them to contact the programming committee as soon as possible. I will get this word to Fernando and Armando and Eva and ask them to make steps to contact the programming committee, to coordinate with you, to send you the proposal and their plans.
Thank you very much, Greg. So we're at time. We're moving to the next item on the agenda, which is the National Finance Committee report. We have 20 minutes for this, Ken.
Okay.
And LaVarne, are you here? LaVarne Williams present? LaVarne?
Just a minute. Let me see if I can get her. Hold on.
Okay. While we're waiting for her, I'll just provide the background. There's one motion that I believe is in the report, and that motion concerns authorizing KPFT to make the initial payment on the transmitter from its savings. I believe the amount's something on the order of $28,000. And I sent to the whole board several days ago the memorandum from Don Mussel, the engineer who's been working with him on this project, about what's involved in it and what all the issues are. Hopefully LaVarne can come on quickly, but basically the issues are that the money will be used from savings, that they're engaged in a capital campaign to raise the money not just for the initial payment but for the full payment. This will increase the effective power of the signal to 100,000 watts. At the moment, I'm just reading now, at the moment KPFT has two transmitters, but neither is capable of more than 25,000. They're licensed to go up to that power level, but if they don't do it, that licensing may expire. I will read this. The CPV digital grant will cover about, I believe this transmitter will be able to transmit analog and digital, if I'm correct. And it says the CPV digital grant will cover about 70% of the cost of the KPFT HD digital installation. I expect the cost of digital transmission equipment will be about $120,000, with CPV paying about $84,000, leaving $36,000 to be covered by non-federal sources. So that is this is a little bit unclear. Sandy, can you assist me on this? I'm seeing a 35,000 watt transmitter for $60,000. How does that relate to the HD transmission equipment that we're talking about?
Let me explain. What's in the plan is not HD at the moment. It is an analog transmitter that we're trying to buy, for a total sum, if I recall, and I'm speaking from memory, of about $56,000. And we're asking for a down payment to secure an order for this transmitter. There's a limited window of opportunity, as they say on Channel 5, to go ahead and make this purchase.
Okay,
at that price.
So since we still don't have LaVarne, who's the chair of the Finance Committee, I'll just ask
Mr. Chair?
You can put... Yes?
I'm sorry, I tried to get a hold of her. She's in Houston for a funeral. That's why she's been on and off the call this evening. So.
Okay, well, Sandy, could you put forward the
point of information? Well, if I could ask a point of information. Is Lonnie Hicks on the call?
Yes, he is.
Lonnie, could you throw some clarification as to whether a motion is needed at all for this?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
What was the question? You went out?
Yeah, I was asking... do we need a motion to be passed by the LSB for KPFT to buy our transmitter to go ahead with the planned purchase?
I believe our plan was to inform the chair and notify of the intent to purchase, and then it comes to the Finance Committee, where if the Finance Committee, upon notification, feels the need to go to the board, which it did, that it would go through that process, and we're at that point right now.
So the Finance Committee did approve it and forward the motion to the board for its approval.
Mm. And if I could provide another point here, Dave?
Yep.
And that is that the KPFT LSB voted on this unanimously to go ahead with the purchase in our last meeting on Wednesday last.
Okay, and actually this isn't going to come from Sandy. This is coming from the Finance Committee. And the motion is to authorize KPFT to use money from its savings. I believe it's up to $30,000. It specifies the amount. It was $28,000. To make the initial payment on purchase of a transmitter, those funds to be repaid into savings by through their capital campaign effort.
Point of information?
Yes.
Question?
Yes.
Okay. I'm very, very confused about the relationship between the digital broadcasting capacity, about which I think the information that you attached, Dave, to the minutes, to the agenda, by the consultant, was clearly all about digital broadcasting. And Sandy has clarified that this transmitter is only an analog transmitter. I really need to know for the record whether getting this analog transmitter in any way interferes with or is a substitute for or would interfere with the grant to get digital broadcasting for KPFT. I'm just really confused on that issue, and I'd like clarification.
I can provide a partial answer if anyone else can provide
a better answer. Let Sandy do it.
Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, no, Dave, you go right ahead. I was going to ask any of the other members of KPFT's board that were present at the meeting last Wednesday, and I believe that's all of us, what they heard. That's
well,
clearly what I heard.
The Finance Committee discussion, during that we specifically asked the question, what more does this expenditure lock us into? And we were told that the total amount of the and that was the question that was posed that we wanted to get an answer to. So he estimates $60,000 for this transmitter. And then the question was, how does that interact with other things that are coming for the transmitter? So I think he's addressing that. And I do not believe that the purchase of the analog will in any way interfere with the digital. But the memo you have that I sent is what we have in writing from the engineer.
Mr. Chair, he's totally speaking.
Wait a minute, are we buying analog or digital? We need an answer.
Yep.
Yes,
Dave, Lavarne? I'd like to be on the stack.
Okay, hang on. But Lavarne, you're here now? Did I hear you come in?
I didn't hear her.
Okay, I thought I heard her. Okay, who said, Dave, I'd like to be on the stack just
Rosalinda.
Now?
Rosalinda.
Rosalinda? Okay. Lonnie, do you want to respond first, and then we'll go to, because you said you wanted to... I thought I heard you trying to...
Yeah, sure. My understanding is that it is indeed to purchase an analog transmitter. To answer the question, no, it does not interfere with the CTB program for digitization, and that KPFT is still eligible for those monies. And the match, which was an issue as well, can be in kind. That is to say, they would give us the funds that we can match with in kind and monies from the drive.
Okay, Rosalinda?
Point of information.
I just wanted to know if there is a policy, because I wasn't here on the board last year, allowing the ED to make certain purchases, and what's the threshold for it to come to us for approval?
Well, we've said, I believe the Finance Committee motion is 10%, if you're over budget by 10% in any bulk category. Or if it's over, was it $30,000, Lonnie?
I think so.
$30,000.
Yeah.
$30,000.
Yeah. Right.
So this would be $57,000, putting it over in its category.
Okay.
Right.
Point of information.
Yes.
What I just heard from Lonnie about the fund drive being somehow the matching in kind. Is that correct? That our normal fund drive would match, serve as the matching input for the CPD grant regarding digitization? Is that correct?
Well, you can match with in kind. For example, if you were to put a staff person who's working on the digital project, that the salary and other expenses would be constituted a match. In addition, as I understand it, if you were in the fund drive to seek a match. You can do that in the context and have those dollars.
Specialized fund drive. Not the normal fund drive, but a specialized fund drive. Okay.
Yeah.
Point of information?
Yes?
Just very quickly, I think what's going on in Houston, if I'm not mistaken, is that There's a quiet campaign known as BioWatt. We're going after major donors to fund a total of $100,000. Now, about 60% of that goes to the cost of the transmitter, at which point the money would be replaced that we're quote-unquote borrowing from our reserve, and that's what we're asking for permission for tonight. The other $40,000 is going to go to a digital upgrade of not one but two studios, one for KPFTI, our internet channel, and the other for our FM airwaves.
You know,
Mr. Chair, if that's the case, why isn't that before us?
I'm going to take a
point
moment.
Point of information.
Before that, I'm going to take a moment and read directly from Muscle's memorandum because I think it will clarify this. After waiting for over 10 years, KPFT finally has received FCC permission to increase the effective power of its signal to 100,000 watts, up from the current level of 28,000. To accomplish this, a transmitter capable of developing 30,000 watts with some headroom is needed. At the moment, KPFT has two transmitters, but neither is capable of more than 25,000 watts, and one of the transmitters is quite old, over 25 years. So a new, more powerful transmitter is needed to accomplish the power increase. We had a similar need at KPFK in the late 1990s, and after 6 years of working on the project, I replaced the old, worn-out transmitters with new equipment in 2002. KPFK now has much more dependable service. In thinking of the future, KPFK applied for and received a CPB grant to install an HD digital signal that would add a second program service to the existing main program service. KPFT has also received such a grant. To make digital transmission work at KPFK, we will add a new HD transmitter and a small auxiliary antenna. KPFK owns its tower, so we don't need permission to add it, nor is there any increased cost in rent. At KPFT, we lease building and tower space, and adding a second antenna is cost prohibitive, and the lease does not allow additions to the tower. So to add HD digital transmission to T, we must combine the signals inside the building. So what he's talking about then is, in addition, so that transmitter will transmit both signals, and the signals will be combined inside the building, and it will require additional equipment, which will cost. So the question from the Finance Committee is, what more are we going to need once this is spent? So the answer is, in addition to the $60,000 for this transmitter, at some point when we do a conversion, we will need another $120,000, of which CPB will pay $84,000, leaving $36,000 to be covered by non-federal sources. That is in the future. What is being asked for right now is authorization to spend, I think it's $28,000, but it's not more than $30,000, against a total transmitter cost of $56,000. That's what's before us.
Great.
Point of information.
That's mostly correct. Where I think the total needed, though, is $100,000, Dave. I don't know where you get the $136,000 from.
That's from Muscle's. I didn't say $136,000. I said $120,000. And that's from Muscle's estimate.
All right.
Yes, Don, your point of information.
Yeah, I just want clarity. It seems that I have heard that the Houston LSV, which doesn't always vote unanimously, has unanimously recommended that we approve this this purchase. And am I also correct that the PNB Finance Committee, their recommendation coming out of that committee is a yes vote by this board? And
yes.
The reason I'm asking, if the LSB in Houston is unanimous, mm-hmm. and if the Finance Committee is recommending this, maybe we're ready to go
right.
to a vote.
In answer to your question, I can speak for the Finance Committee and say that it did pass the Finance Committee, I believe, without objection, but I'm not certain of that.
Mr. Chairman, so the LSB is looking for a motion that allows it to spend the money out of its savings account?
The Finance Committee has put, PNB Finance Committee has put forward a motion that they be authorized to do that.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
Is it clear that the motion from the Finance Committee incorporates what it is that is implied in Mr. Muscle's memo that KPFT actually wants to do? Because what they told us does not sound like that.
The motion from the Finance Committee concerns exclusively
the transmitter, that this 30,000 plus transmitter that they want to purchase right now, that will cost a total of 50.
At what point can we get a resolution that is accurate about what it is that we need, that we're voting on?
In writing. I think the reason you don't have it is the reason that Patty just said, which is that our chair is at a funeral in Houston.
Mr. Chairman?
And so
yes.
Nobody from KPFT could have written that in English for us?
It belongs
yes,
to Sarf.
The Finance Committee.
Sarf, what would you like to ask?
What I was... Oh, that's okay. I'll come back.
I'd like to know what we're voting on. That's all. I want to support KPFT.
The motion
I just don't know what
to,
it is that they're trying to do, and I don't. It doesn't sound like they know either.
The motion is to allow KPFT to make an initial payment of up to $30,000 on a transmitter from its savings, the money to be replenished in their savings by their current capital campaign. That's what we approved.
Mr. Chairman, now I have.
Go ahead.
Call the question.
I'd recognize Sarv before the question is called afterwards. That'll be in order.
I think even though I'm very sympathetic and I'll vote for spending this money, and I think it's a good idea, I think in the absence of some kind of a written motion by the Finance Committee here, I think we have only a couple of weeks left here for a New York meeting. At that meeting, they can bring it. The motion will pass it real quickly.
There was a time sensitivity on this purchase that I don't know if Sandy can speak to.
I believe that we need to get approval by the end of this week. I believe that's the case.
Okay.
What happened?
Go ahead, Sandy.
This is, as I said, kind of a limited situation. We found the Blue Light Special. We found a transmitter for a sum of under $60,000. The alternatives were closer to $100,000. And I believe that we either start the project or lose the pricing from the supplier.
There was another issue, and the other issue had to do with timing with respect to negotiations for their transmitter site lease. And they had wanted to move forward with the transmitter during their current lease. And so that was another reason for the time sensitivity, as I understand.
Point of order?
Yes, Don.
I'd like to just inquire whether the secretary has the exact wording that the chair put out, which could possibly suffice and meet the requirements of all board members as to what are we voting on. So I'm just wondering if the secretary is going to be able, if the question is called and we move to a vote, if the secretary has the wording of
Mr.
the motion.
Chair?
Hold on, I'd like to get an answer to that. Teresa? Is our secretary still on the call?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
The Secretary of the Finance Committee just notified that the motion, it was in the minutes, and it's being sent right this second, so the actual
Thank
language
you.
Is coming.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Patty.
Can she read it?
As soon as we get it, we will read it. In the meantime, Rosalinda, was that you who had asked for to be recognized?
Mr. Chair, we have 2 minutes left on this item.
Okay.
I heard a voice, but it was not me.
Okay. Well, Patty, so do you have the... I would like to suggest that we table this item until we get that language and take up the remaining couple, 2 minutes after we deal with the coordinating committee report.
Thank you.
Is there any objection to doing that?
No, as long as we do it tonight.
Okay, so it is to table it until after, or postpone it until after the coordinating committee report, and whereupon we'll take it up with the remaining time of 2 minutes. If there's no objection, we'll move on to the coordinating committee report. Mary Berg sent around the coordinating committee motions concern the planning for the PNB meeting, and Mary Berg very graciously sent around those motions. I'll read the motion. I, being chair of the committee, will read the motions. and then there is an update on one of the items which I sent around to the board today. The first was that the that we would, if you recall, we passed a motion at our last meeting calling for 5 hours of training in an anti-racism workshop, and we've also discussed having Dr. Lawrence Lessig meet with the board and discuss issues of licensing and digital distribution during the Friday session. At the time of the meeting, I understood that his availability to was 1 to 3 p.m., so the motion by the board was that we would do the anti-racism workshop from 9 to noon, break an hour for lunch, spend 1 to 3 with Dr. Lessig, take a half-hour break, and then from 3:30 to 5:30, the second part of the workshop, dinner from 5:30 to 6:30, and convene the open session at 6:30. Since that time, I learned that his availability is actually 9 to 11 a.m. I had forgotten that I had received a message from his assistant about a month ago on that point. If we make that change, oh, there was a contingency motion from the coordinating committee, which is was that if for any reason the schedule can't be accommodated by the people who we were scheduling, the chair and the vice chair are authorized to make adjustments consistent with the spirit of the motion. So the adjustment that would be consistent would be that we would go from 9 to 11 with Dr. Lessig, and then we would have the rest of the day, the 5 hours of the anti-racism workshop with an hour for lunch and a half-hour break in the afternoon. So that's the first. I'm going to read the other two, and then we can take these serially. The next item was that the general agenda format, which is the same as that last time, which includes time for thematic discussions and for two stations to GMs to have sort of the focus, the longer amount of time, and then have the remaining three stations insert altogether for 45 minutes, that be adopted. That was accepted without objection. And the two thematic discussions proposed for Saturday have to do with the future of staffing and volunteerism, for one, and secondly, how we create space for new initiatives, including new programming at stations and within the network. A slot will also be reserved for Sunday for a thematic discussion, and it was suggested that that would be a continuation of issues on distribution, digital distribution. There'll be time allotted to committee reports, executive session reports from staff. The recommendation of the two focus stations were the host station, WBAI, which was approved without objection, and the second was KPFA in a split vote, with KPFA receiving 3 votes and KPFT receiving 2. So we'll take these in order. The first motion is that the Friday session, and if there's no objection, I'd like to incorporate the change of Lessig's availability. So the first motion would be that 9 to 11, we would be with Dr. Lessig on issues having to do with licensing and distribution. And then from 11 to 5:30, we would have anti-racism training with an hour break for lunch and a half-hour afternoon break. So that's the first motion.
I second that.
Okay. Since it's an altered motion, we'll accept the second. Is there discussion on that point, or may we simply move to approval?
I have a question.
Yes, Teresa.
Do we have a financial impact statement assigned to this?
Not at this time, we do not.
I thought we agreed that we would have financial impact statements attached to things like this. We will be going, we will have to, some people may not be aware. Who here is not aware, or who here is aware that they need to come in and be in New York City Friday morning?
That they need to come in Thursday.
Yeah, I'd like to know who's received any kind of notification about travel planning.
I have. Everybody, I have.
I haven't received it yet.
I have not received any.
I have not.
Donna.
Okay. Well, I would like to keep this focused on this question. If we can get through these motions at the end, we have more time to discuss other meeting planning arrangements. So your point, Teresa, is that there's not a financial impact with this, and so one point might be that perhaps someone can recommend a price tag on the workshop that we would requesting that it could come in under.
That's right. And in addition to that, our PNB directors need to come in an extra day early, so that's an extra day of hotels.
Mary Bird would like to be on the stack.
Yes, Mary.
We would have to come in Thursday anyway, as we had to do in January for Krieger's training, which started early in the morning. We have this these other sessions, which have to start in the morning, so we have to be there anyway. So it's not the racial workshop that is causing us to come in. It's that we have a retreat. We have retreats with managers that have to be taken up. So if you want the financial impact, then we have to find what Dr. Lessig would charge or whatever. But I would really suggest we move on because I think we're going to be needing to have the Friday day for things anyway. There will be a continuing things of this sort.
Temporary,
and I don't think
exactly.
It requires people to come in just to be there at 6:30. Maybe people want to come in the night before instead of leaving at 3 in the morning. So I don't think this is germane.
Thank you.
Patty?
Dr. Lessig will not be charging us anything for it.
Patty on the stack, please.
I heard Ken, and then I heard Patty. Ken?
Well, I think Teresa's got a point here. I think that we need to look at the total financial impact of any proposal before the board. And in this case, it is the case that I think the 2 hours from what was the other thing, the intellectual property thing or whatever it was?
Yeah, that's
the digital distribution. I think that could have been done in a Saturday through Sunday thing. So actually, this is actually
Thursday Sunday.
Excuse me, I have the floor, don't I? Okay. I believe that we need to consider that this is going to cost the network or what it's going to cost, and just to be open and honest about that before we vote in favor of it or against it, whatever. But the total cost includes the additional day of training. That's what it is.
Just to be clear, Dr. Lessig, I've been trying for 6 months to get his time. He is available only on Friday. Only during that time he's going to be flying back to the West Coast, and because of his scheduling, we do not have to pay any expense for his travel since he was already going to be in New York.
But Dave, you're debating here. You know, this is really not fair to those of us that have to wait our turn to debate. And what I want to say in response to that is that it may be that the board would decide not to have Mr. Lessig speak for 2 hours if that were the only thing that we're taking up our Friday. I think we have to look at all the options on the table here and not just the way that the coordinating committee has happened to lay this out. So
okay,
the fundamental point is that this
order.
Additional training is going to require an extra day on the part of the PNB, and that includes the expenses, the relevant expenses. We just need to look at how front of what those are before we vote on it. That's all. I think Teresa's right.
Patty?
Yes, I would like to amend this motion that a financial impact statement of the extra day be included in there somehow at some point, or this price tag. That's not a very good motion, is it? I agree. I think we have to add this in. It was not added in the motion that we just keep passing motions without financial impact. So I would like to amend that there be a financial impact statement be developed as to the price, and the board should be informed of its cost for the training and the extra day.
Mary Berg, I'd like to be in the stack when everyone is
spoken. And I would like
spoken.
It to be announced in the meeting publicly, the cost of the extra day.
I don't quite understand the motion. When you say a financial impact statement, how does that relate to the timing of the going ahead with the planning?
Well, you said the finance committee can come up afterwards. We can't implement this until we have an actually impact statement, though. So I would like to say that we need to know how much we're even going to go after the training has happened, but that we should have the amount of money that was spent. We should have that amount announced at the meeting for the extra day.
5 minutes remaining, Mr. Chairman.
I had asked to be on if nobody else had spoken.
Okay, we're now at 5 minutes before, and we had agreed that when we arrived at 5 minutes before, we would close debate unless there was a motion to extend time.
Teresa, I move that we extend 10 minutes.
I second.
There's been a motion to extend by 10 minutes.
Point of information?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, the pending items would include the undebated Saturday and Sunday schedule as well. That would be closed at this time for motion. Is that what would happen if there were no extension?
Correct.
Mr. Chair, point of order.
Stand by 10 minutes, yes?
I think we were going to take the Finance Committee motion under consideration as soon as it arrived by email. It's here.
After we finish the pending business.
We'll do it. Following what we discussed earlier, we'll do it after we finish what's
Thank
on
you.
The floor.
Sorry.
So there's been a motion to extend 10 minutes. It's been seconded. Is there an objection? Hearing none.
Mr. Chair,
You object? Okay. Is there any other?
Mr. Chair, I would like to amend the motion.
You're out of order. I've heard one objection. Are there any other objections?
No, it's a motion to amend the motion to extend. You say you can't.
I will recognize you when I am done with what I'm asking. Is there any other objection to extending for 10 minutes?
I object.
Okay, so we will call the roll after we hear Ken. You're making a motion to amend.
Yes,
time.
Mr. Chair. I believe that we need to devote a minimal amount of time. Since the chair is breaking this down per day, and therefore I would like to amend the motion to allow for a minimum of 5 minutes of debate. A minimum of 10 minutes of debate per day. Okay, if it's not needed, then it's not needed. But
Ken. The motion is 10 minutes for each day. So he is saying that he would like 30 minutes for the 3 days. Is there a second to that motion? Hearing no second, it fails. I heard objections, more than one objection to the extension of time for 10 minutes. Teresa, would you call the roll on extension?
Thanks. Sandy Weinman?
Sandy,
okay,
this is to extend time.
All right, Ken Freeland?
Move to extend.
Okay, Deb Chapto?
Clarify for me what we're... voting on.
We're voting on whether to extend time to discuss the PNB agenda by 10 minutes.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you. Rip Robbins?
I'll abstain.
All right. Ambrose Lane is not here, I believe. A.C. Bird?
Yes.
Rob Robinson?
Yes.
Zarina Shakir is not here. Sar Rondawa?
Yes.
Rosalinda Palacios?
No.
LaVarne Williams? LaVarne? Patty Heffley?
No.
Ray LaForest?
Yes.
Bob Letterer?
Yes.
Lisa Davis? Lisa Davis?
She's gone.
She said she couldn't.
Okay, I'm sorry. David Adel, I'm sorry. Alan Minsky?
Abstain.
Don White?
Yes.
Teresa Allen votes yes. Sandy Weinman?
I've already voted. Yes.
Thank you. Well, maybe I just missed it, Sandy. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm having a little problem, and it's, for some reason I'm going to start again. Lydia Brisson is yes?
No. What?
You didn't call her yet.
You didn't call me yet.
Lydia?
No.
No. Okay. That's the problem. All right. I did not have a vote from Mary Berg.
You didn't call
her. You're fading,
Teresa. We can't hear you.
Mary Berg?
Yeah. Okay. I vote yes.
And LaVarne Williams?
She's not here.
Well, I didn't know whether she'd come back on. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm going to have to start again because something's askew here. I'm going to start with Lydia. You said no, I believe.
Yes.
Teresa said yes. Sandy said yes. Ken said yes. Deb Shafto said yes. Rip was abstained. Ambrose is not here. AC said yes. Rob Robinson, yes. Serena not here. Sarve, yes. Rosalinda Montes Palacios, no. Mary, yes. LeVar not here. Patty Heffley is?
No.
I said no.
Okay, thank you. Ray LaForest said yes, I believe.
Yes.
And Bob Letterer?
Yes.
Okay. Lisa Davis is not here. Okay, I'm so sorry.
Now, did you list Don White as yes?
Don White said yes, I believe.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much for your patience.
Did you get me? This is Alan.
You said you abstained.
That's correct. I just wanted to make sure.
Yes, thank you very much, Alan.
What's the vote?
I'm counting.
Oh.
11 yes, 1, 2, 3, no.
Ted Freeland, I'd like to be on the staff, please.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mary Berg, I'd like to be
on. Hang on, stop. I have to ask, please, whoever is beeping your phone, it is so difficult to do this with that noise, which is very disruptive. Please try to be careful if you're holding your phone with your face or something like that, and you're hitting the keys, it's very hard to listen. Now, I'm going to, as I said earlier, take people who have not spoken. Can people please tell me who would like to speak now?
Ken Freeland?
Sarve? You spoke.
No, I didn't. I spoke.
You are out of order, Mary.
Sorry.
Please come to order. Ken, Sarve?
Bob.
Bob.
Rip Robbins.
Rip.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Patty.
I've written the motion, the amendment.
Okay, and you've circulated it?
I didn't circulate it, Dad. I just wrote it.
Okay, and did we have a second for it? Can you remind me?
No, there was no second.
Okay, I don't believe in the absence of a second.
Wait,
I would like to move.
I need clarification what that amendment was.
I believe there was a second.
Yeah, I seem to have recalled having heard it. Hang on just a second, Sarve.
I seconded it. Teresa Allen seconded it.
Okay. Can you send it, Patty? Okay.
Oh, yes.
Sarve?
I'd like to make a substitute motion. And
go ahead.
My motion reads that... we accept the recommendation of the coordinating committee as read by the chairman. And regarding the financial impact, that we take the costs that were associated with the Los Angeles workshops and add 20% to it. And that would be our figure for the estimate for the workshop. And the executive director and the finance CFO provide us the source of that fund.
Okay. Have you written that down, Sarve, by any chance?
No, I would.
Second.
I made a note of it here.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's been seconded by Rosalinda, but clearly to process this, we're going to be able to need to reproduce it. So... if you could, while we're discussing it, please try to recapitulate that in writing. It would be a big help. So now we have a substitute to the original substitute, and that is before us. Who would like to speak on this?
Mary Berg.
Ken Freeland, we have a point of information.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I might be the best time since Sarve is working on writing it. I'd like to know what the rationale is for the 20%.
I would.
Additional.
When I get recognized, I would try to move.
Go ahead and answer the question, if you would.
I think, Mr. Chairman, it's a moot point that whether we're going to hold a meeting or not. The Pacifica National Board has already decided and passed a motion that we shall hold this race and nationality workshop, and we have to do it. And now it's a matter of finding our resources, and I think the rough estimate of Los Angeles workshop is good enough, and we're adding with 20% contingency to it, and we provide it to the executive director to come up with a recommendation for the funds.